Beloved congregation, we are again privileged to be present at the celebration of the Lord's Supper. And at the Lord's Supper, it is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not about us. It's about Him. And so our focus should be upon Him, upon His finished work, and upon the fact that He has earned everlasting salvation. And there His people may see the tokens of His faithfulness, that He is their Lord and Savior. And as they eat and drink, they may realize and know that just as sure as they eat and drink, just as sure has the Lord washed away their sins, and that they are incorporated in Him. And that's what a child of God may experience and see and believe at the supper. And at the same time, it will be present in the life of that person an ardent desire to live for Him, for the one who paid for their sins. It will be then desire to know Him more, and that His name may be sanctified in their lives. Yes, it is a privilege to be at the supper to receive the tokens and signs of His abiding love and His everlasting faithfulness. And so for the celebration this morning, we focus on Revelation 22, verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. It's a very striking text. After the Lord Jesus has showed John all what would happen in world history, in symbolic language, it is portrayed to John. And he has seen scenes of devastating judgments and of terrible persecutions and of hardships and glorious views of those who are in Christ Jesus, who will be more than conquerors, who will gain the victory. And after we have seen all these judgments, and after John has noticed this all, and has seen also the end result of where everything will ultimately lead to, and that is to New Jerusalem, the glories of the presence of Christ in New Jerusalem, where His people will be gathered together with Him. And then, after John has seen this all, then the Lord Jesus gives a glorious self-revelation, which should be a comfort to all His people, that the Lord says, whatever happens, never forget, I am Alpha and I am Omega. I'm the first and the last. I am the beginning and the end. It's a glorious self-revelation. And the Lord Jesus has given this self-revelation earlier in this book. The first time, we find already in chapter 1, at the beginning of Revelation, the Lord Jesus already has stated 5 times that He is the Alpha and the Omega. 3 times already in the first chapter. In verse 8 of Revelation 1, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And again in Revelation 1 verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And also in 1 verse 17. And then the next chapter, 2 verse 18, and the following chapter, 3 verse 14. And then at the end of Revelation 21 verse 6. And here again in 22 verse 13. 7 times. It's very striking that so often we see the number 7 in the book of Revelation. Repeatedly you see that. The whole book consists, I said last week, of seven different views on reality, on world history. From the perspective of the church, from the perspective of the enemies of the church, from the perspective of judgments, from the perspective of the future New Jerusalem. Seven views of New Jerusalem. And so we find seven times here the Lord Jesus says, I'm the first and the last. What does it mean when the Lord Jesus calls himself Alpha and Omega? It will be clear that in the Greek alphabet, the first letter is Alpha and the last letter is Omega. That means to say the Lord Jesus, by using this symbolic language, says that he is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. From the beginning of creation, he was there. And even before creation, he filled all eternity. And later on, till all eternity, he will be there. The Lord Jesus overrules everything. Time and eternity. Everything that happens in this world, he overrules. He is altogether powerful. He is always there. He rules everything. And you know, this has everything to do also with God's children. Because he is also the Alpha and the Omega in their lives. Because when you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you have been led to see your corrupt nature, and you have been led to see that you cannot live outside of him and his righteousness, and that you've learned to surrender your life unto him, then this is of such great comfort to you, that he who entered your life, who opened your eyes, who saved you, that he is Alpha and Omega also for you. That means he had set his eye upon you in eternity past. And that he has loved you from eternity. That he knew your name already before the world was even created. He is Alpha and Omega. He loves his people with an eternal love, because God is love. He was also the first in your life. You did not ask for him. He asked for you. You did not come to him. He came to you. He crossed your path. He stopped you in your tracks. And he opened your eyes that you saw something of your depraved existence, and you thought so well of yourself that you were doing quite pretty well, that you were not like other people, and you thought you were doing quite well, you were a nice church-going person, but then the Lord opened your eyes that you were lost because you were living for yourself and not for him. Your life revolved all about me. And that's why you were lost. Because you served the idol me and not the Lord Jesus. And he showed you that. And you were shocked, remember? And you could not live on anymore without him. And then he opened your eyes that you could see something of his glory, of his loving kindness and his goodness and his faithfulness. And he opened your ears so that you would listen now, listen differently in church to the preaching of his word. And then you started to read the word of God. You had a hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you experienced peace you've never experienced before. You experienced his nearness, which was more precious to you than life itself. He became altogether lovely, and that was all his work in your life. And what happened was that fountains of living waters came up from your belly, as the Lord Jesus says. And they spring up to eternal life. That eternal life is now already in you. Because those who believe in me, the Lord Jesus says, they shall never die. They have eternal life. And that's all His work. And when you reflect on what He has done, then you long for Him. And that's the attitude, how you may come to the supper. For the supper is holy. The supper is a real communion with the real body and blood of Christ. But I said last week that happens through His Holy Spirit. It's not that bread becomes flesh or wine becomes blood. It's not that with your mouths that you, as you eat and drink, that you have communion with the body and blood of Christ. It's not the eating, but it's a spiritual presence of Christ. And through that spiritual presence, you have communion really with the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross for you. And that shows how strengthening the Lord's Supper is. That's why it's a holy supper. That's why it's only for those who confess that they wish to live for and with the Lord Jesus in self-denial, devoted to Him. And then the Lord says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That your salvation is secure in me, whatever may happen to you. And that's all underscored here at the supper, where the Lord seals to your heart, I am Alpha and Omega. He will be faithful. And the way how His faithfulness is applied in your life is because He awakens your heart that you desire to cleave to Him. It's not that you lean over backward. And so I don't have to do anything because the Lord Jesus did it all. No, you start to strive. You start to fight the good fight of faith. You start to mortify the deeds of the flesh. You start to long for the better day with Him. You cleave to the Lord Jesus. And so you work out your salvation with fear and trembling because He is the holy, most awe-inspiring God. And so you fight the good fight of faith, knowing that He is the captain of our salvation. I am Alpha and Omega. What can we say further about this? Well, we just read Revelation 1. And there is verse 8. We read the Lord Jesus adds something to this expression. And that's that He is the Almighty One. So I'm Alpha and Omega, the Almighty One. So by this expression, the Lord Jesus explains what it is that He shows that He has all power in heaven and upon earth. He determines what shall happen in this world. And nothing runs out of control when the people become more and more wicked and when biblical principles are pushed to the side, are marginalized. And when the church that wishes to be faithful to the entire Word of God will come under oppression, then He is Almighty. Nothing happens outside of His control. He has prophesied that you will be hated by all men, by all nations, for my name's sake. And in the midst of everything, He is the Almighty One. His power is demonstrated when you know the Lord Jesus. You know how His power is demonstrated, that He entered your life and He overcame your unwillingness. He opened your eyes. And because of His power, His people will take a refuge under the shadow of His wings. And they know He watches over me. I'm never alone. He sees me. He knows the path I have to traverse. He takes care of me. I am under His control because He is Alpha and Omega, the Almighty One. And so I may rest assured that nothing can separate me from His love, that I will experience it under all circumstances, because He is Almighty. And so the Lord controls everything. When evil powers break loose, the Lord holds on to them. And you may rest on the arm of your beloved. And so He secures also your future, and that will be with Him in sinless glory, in pure joy, for that is the future of God's people. And already now here on earth they receive a foretaste of this peace. He watches over them. He knows where they are. He knows about their struggles, because the fact that He is Alpha and Omega also means that He is all-knowing. He understands you better than you know yourself. He understands your frustration. He understands your struggles. He takes note of your failures, maybe in this past week of preparation for the Lord's Supper, that there were struggles in your life. You wonder, why is this happening to me? Because the evil one also knows it's a week of preparation. But He is faithful. He invites poor sinners to come here, because His people in themselves will only confess of themselves that they are poor sinners. And they will even say of themselves, I'm unconverted, because you see so much that goes against the Lord in their lives, and they have a sorrow about that, and they struggle with that, and they cleave to Him, they need Him, and they long for Him. And they would even say, but I fear I'm outside of grace. I fear I'm outside of the Lord Jesus, and yet I cannot live without Him. He is my aim in life. He is my all in all. I cleave to Him. You are invited to come here to the supper because you long for Him. You cannot live without Him. And here He seals, I am Alpha and Omega. I am faithful, faithful to you. And here at the supper, you may reflect on the fact that everything in your life you owe to Him except your sins. And so when we reflect on Alpha and Omega, that He is the Almighty One, the All-Knowing One, the Faithful One, when we look deeper at Alpha and Omega, that's eternity. The fact that the Lord Jesus reveals Himself in this way has eternal significance. His dealings with your soul has everlasting implications. And that's glorious, because He's leading you into His everlasting glory. The struggle you're going through has eternal implications. The cross you're now bearing has eternal significance, because the Lord is doing this not at random, on purpose. He has his own aim with this. But He is leading you through these tribulations that you would enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, he also had to climb the hill difficulty, boys and girls, don't you know that? How Christian had to climb that steep hill. It wasn't always easy. And then he had to go down into that valley of darkness. It wasn't easy. And then he had to fight Apollyon. Remember that dragon? He had to fight that Apollyon. It wasn't easy. And it's not always easy to follow the Lord. But it's so blessed. Because along this way of tribulation, Christian entered the celestial, the heavenly city. And he was rejoicing with the Lord. And that's how it is with the Lord and his people too. It is through tribulation, through much tribulation, that we enter the kingdom of heaven. But even when you go through much tribulation, you would rather go this way than be delivered of tribulation, that everything would be easy and you would live in the world without Christ. Oh, that would be horrendous. Because even in the tribulation, he is there with his strength, with his grace, with his faithful nearness. He is so good. He is such a good master. And so at the supper, you desire to follow him. Because the text says that the Lord Jesus is also the end, beginning and the end. And the end in Greek, in the Greek text, it says that he is the aim, the telos, the conclusion. And that's how the Lord Jesus is. He is the beginning, he is the end, the aim. He is the end of the law. Romans tells us that. The end of the law in Romans 10. Because since the Lord Jesus has fully kept the law, we do not need to keep the law to merit salvation. Because the Lord, you may rest on that finished work of Christ. He is the Omega, the end of the law. He is also the aim of the law. Because now the Lord is at work in the hearts of his people to change their lives so that they start to live more and more after his will and after his law. And that's how the Lord leads his people. He is the aim, that they would be fully changed after his image. And that's living according to God's law. And what comfort when you are here at the supper and you know that you've transgressed all of his commandments, that you can never make up for what you did wrong, but here you see the signs and the seals that the Lord Jesus fulfilled everything, that he suffered agonies in outer darkness where you should have been so that you would never have to undergo that. And out of love to the Lord, you will seek to live according to all of his commandments. And so we look here at the supper into eternity. The eternal aim. And so under these signs of bread and wine, the Lord Jesus is telling us, look unto me, for I am Alpha and Omega. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I will love you till all everlasting. Amen.